Welcome to the Ministry of Truth. Hello and welcome to the Ministry of Truth. I'm Mitchell Stjepanchuk. On today's show, we'll feature an interview with Chicago organizer and media producer Chris Giovannis in a discussion about the March 18, 2006 Peace March in Chicago, among other topics. We'll also feature a selection of news about media and democracy entitled Media Minutes. But first, these headlines from around the web and around the world. From Democracy Now! The Chicago police oppose a proposal to honor Fred Hampton. A proposal to erect a tribute to slain Black Panther Fred Hampton has drawn opposition from Chicago police. Hampton was assassinated by Chicago police and the FBI in a December 1969 raid on his home. Chicago has nearly 1,300 honorary street signs. The president of Chicago's Fraternal Order of Police said the city should not honor someone who advocated violence against police officers. However, Alderman Madeline Hathcock, who proposed the street naming, said, "If you read the history of Fred Hampton, all he said is he was going to defend himself against policemen, and evidently he didn't because they murdered him." From the New Standard. Walmart is increasingly looking past the major media for favorable coverage. The company now works directly with bloggers, feeding them exclusive nuggets, suggesting topics, and inviting them to visit its corporate headquarters. But the strategy raises questions about what bloggers, many of whom pride themselves on independence, should disclose to readers. Bloggers who agreed to receive email messages from Walmart's PR team said they were eager to hear the retail giant's side of the story. Some have been simply copying email texts into posts. The Burlington Free Press in Vermont reports that the ballot for Burlington mayor in March 2006 will look like no other most voters have seen. Instead of the old method of ranking one candidate per office, city voters will be looking at a grid on which they may rank five candidates. The process is called instant runoff voting, and it's hailed as a way to open elections to more candidates and give voters a chance to choose candidates they really back. The city is just one of a few in the country, including San Francisco, to use this system. From the Guerrilla News Network. The country of Guatemala plans to digitize war files for public access. In the summer of 2005, 80 million historic police files, most from the darkest period in Guatemala's 36-year civil war, surfaced in a bat-infested explosives depot being investigated by human rights officials. To complete the largest archive of such records in Latin America, millions more files were collected from 30 police stations in December 2005. Now the restoration of crumbling documents begins, with international funding and an ambitious goal: to digitize all the records and provide public access to evidence of torture and disappearances so that survivors of the police state can identify those responsible. Although many of those implicated in state crimes are still in power, the National Police Force was dissolved in 1997 after a peace agreement with leftist guerrillas ended the Civil War. From the Guerrilla News Network. The approval of Brazilian President Lula's compromise legislation on sustainable forestry in the Amazon ends a deadlock in a battle marked by heinous government logging scandals and bloodshed over forest land rights. Now, logging companies can apply for up to 40-year licenses to operate sustainable logging programs, with regularly scheduled independent inspections of licensed sites. Critics believe that inspections every 5 years are not frequent enough to protect the forest. But Greenpeace hailed the new law as a badly needed means of bringing the timber industry under the sway of environmental regulations. From the New Standard. After all three of Lincoln Park Zoo's elephants met untimely deaths, wildlife experts urged the Chicago City Council to embargo captive elephants in the interest of sparing them physical and psychological misery. The aldermen are considering an ordinance that would essentially ban elephants from Chicago zoos and circuses. A growing number of zoos around the country have closed their elephant exhibits and turned their elephants over to sanctuaries where they can roam more freely in conditions similar to their native African or Asian habitats. These are some headlines from around the world. We encourage you to visit and support online independent news efforts like The New Standard, newstandardnews.net, The Guerrilla News Network, gnn.tv, and Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. You're listening to the Ministry of Truth.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
A broad coalition of groups from across the political spectrum representing more than 15 million Americans is mobilizing to stop a proposed corporate email tax courtesy of America Online. AOL, in conjunction with a service called Goodmail, plans to begin charging people who send bulk messages a premium to guarantee their delivery. Yahoo is considering a similar implementation. The companies claim charging to send email is a good way to fight spam, but Craig Newmark, the founder of Craigslist, which got its start via email, says the AOL plan does nothing in this regard.
It will just enable spammers who won't be able to be detected well, and will draw resources from regular everyday abuse handling.
Not-for-profit and charitable organizations, which rely heavily on email to keep their members informed, stand to take a huge hit financially if they must pay for what until now has been a very cost-effective channel of information dissemination. That's why Gils Friedman with the Association of Cancer Online Resources says groups like the Human Rights Campaign, United Farm Workers, and the Humane Society all oppose AOL's email tax.
Our members are AOL members too. The average organization that has a mailing list has about 20% to 25% of its membership on AOL email addresses.
Although AOL has hinted that the service is targeted at commercial mass emailers, Eli Pariser with MoveOn.org says he's seen nothing to suggest it won't catch everyone who mass mails.
That's the implicit assumption behind all of this, that either you pay to play or you take your chances with their spam filters.
A big picture view of the proposal is even more disturbing. Danny O'Brien with the Electronic Frontier Foundation says charging for sending email is just a step closer toward doing away with principles of network neutrality, which guarantees the free flow of information online.
It introduces the machinery to tax individual emails, ostensibly for very good reasons, but you really don't know where this kind of thing leads. As soon as you put a spike onto the internet where you can draw out money, any number of middlemen realize that they can take a cut too.
For now, the coalition is pointing its members and the public to a new website, DearAOL.com, where it's posted an open letter to America Online asking it to reconsider its paymail plan. But many coalition members, like Larry Pratt of the Gun Owners of America, say they won't hesitate to ramp up the pressure on AOL through other means, like boycotts, if necessary.
I would say that if AOL actually, if you'll pardon the expression, pulls the trigger on this plan, then that would be our response.
For its part, AOL says it's undeterred by the criticism and still plans to roll out its paymail scheme sometime this month.
Renowned linguist and social critic Noam Chomsky has harsh words for the state of media coverage about Iraq. But the MIT professor emeritus is not focusing on bias, embedded reporting, or the growing military propaganda machine, both at home and abroad. He says journalists avoid asking questions that are both simple and troubling, like whether the occupation of Iraq has lost its legitimacy or had any legitimacy to begin with. Instead, Chomsky says U.S. journalists treat the occupation much like a high school newspaper would cover a football game.
Questions do come up, critical questions too. For example, how are we doing? Could we do better if we tried another way? Should we get a different coach? Put in a different player or something like that. But the question whether it's legitimate to be there and to win, that's unimaginable.
The problem, according to Chomsky, is that the answers to such questions tread on uncomfortable territory. For example, the torture of prisoners at the Abu Ghraib prison and the decimation of the city of Fallujah are clear violations of the Geneva Conventions on warfare.
Under U.S. law, every top leader is not only subject to trial, but in fact the death penalty. That's the penalty for grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions. Does it matter? No? We're doing it, so it must be right. The only problem is, does it work or does it cost too much?
Chomsky says ignoring the brutal facts of U.S. warfare erodes claims of moral superiority in the war on terror. And the mainstream media, complicit in the ignorance, loses its own moral claim of being truth-tellers as a result.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Join over 100 peace groups on Saturday, March 18, 2006, to protest the third anniversary of the Iraq War. The demands are simple: end the war and occupation and bring the troops home now. Feeder marches will lead to a 3 p.m. rally at Union Park at Ashland and Lake. From there, travel by bus and train to Walton and State for a 7 p.m. Festival of Rights march down Michigan Avenue to Daley Plaza. For more information, call 773-209-1187 or go online to chicagoactions.org. This is the Ministry of Truth. I'm Mitchell Szczepańczyk. We now feature an interview with Chicago organizer and media producer Chris Giovannis in a discussion about the March 18, 2006 Peace March in Chicago, among other topics. This interview originally aired on Live from the Heartland on WLUW Radio in Chicago on March 4, 2006.
Marty Cohen, the energy guy, has showed up and he will be coming on soon, but right now we have Chris Giovannis. Good morning to you.
Thanks for having me.
Chris, last time you were here, I it was indie media, and I said something about, okay, what's your band like? And I took a lot of heat for that because I had not prepared. But today I know that you're going to talk a little bit more about, getting permits and working out with the Chicago Police Department, having a demonstration.
Yeah, we are once again mobilizing for, unfortunately, the third anniversary of the beginning of the war in Iraq.
Oh.
But I'll tell you something, it's a credit to the national peace movement that the public has moved so far. And largely it's because the public has gotten access to honest information about this war from alternative sources, like Common Dreams, like indie media, like Counterpunch and so forth. So we're really moving. The challenge in Chicago, unfortunately, for the last 3 years has been to be able to do that kind of work in public spaces. And unfortunately, we've dealt with an administration that has been historically, unsurprisingly, pretty hostile to that. So we're excited that we're making some forward motion with the city this year.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes when they have a demonstration downtown, it's like you're walking down, like you're surrounded by police.
Well, it hasn't always been like that. I think that part of the difficulty for big urban bureaucracies like Chicago is the reality of the gravy train. We've seen this administration in Washington continue to cut back funds for things like community policing and local law enforcement. Where's the gravy train? The gravy train is in Homeland Security dollars. And that means taking an attitude and a framework in terms of heightened security concerns, the dangerous, threat from, a militant left and all the crap rhetoric that they use to really demonize progressive people in this city, who are the vast majority of people in the metropolitan area. And city bureaucrats do that because it's a way of garnering funding from the feds. It's the kind of trick bag that many municipalities across the country feel. So, but we were very careful this year in how we went about the work. We had strong grassroots groups initiate the process this year, in part including a central rally place that was designed to be accessible to people in the neighborhoods. Rather than focusing only on downtown. And we crafted a permit request that, frankly, the city was going to be really embarrassed by in federal court if they fought us on.
Lay it out. What does it look like?
Well, right now, what we've done, we structured our permit request to exactly parallel the huge commercial parade that the city holds every November for the Festival of Lights activity, which draws hundreds of thousands of people and has absolutely no problems. We're peaceful people. The city would have absolutely no problems with us marching down the same corridor, and that's the case that we made to them. We said,
Here's our permit request. Parallels precisely what you give to Mickey Mouse every year. How about it? Pony up. And they did. They did. And we think this is an important victory because it's part of a long process to win back access to public space for public speech that has been very much shut down and repressed nationally in the last, really, 5-6 years since we've seen the onset of the Bush administration and you know, support for that agenda from local administrations. So we feel very good about this. We're calling this action on Michigan Avenue the Festival of Rights.
What is the date?
March 18th. We have feeder marches that will start as early as Saturday morning. People are converging at Union Park, at Lake and Ashland at 3 p.m. for a big mass rally. Cliff Kelly is going to be among the MCs. Luis Gutierrez has agreed to speak. We have other speakers from labor, from the Latino community, from Gold Star Families Against the War, from military families speak out. So we're very excited at the diversity of people that are going to present. And then starting at 4:30, we're going to move up to Walton and State and get ready to march down Michigan Avenue for
Hallelujah.
A change unimpeded by the city.
Chris Giovannis, how do you think that the Iraq War came on big time and people took to the streets and we're on Lakeshore Drive, and then the police had a small group of several hundred surrounded and were just dragging them off, and there were a lot of challenges to that around the legality of the way they had handled that. Do you think that the challenge had some impact on the success you've had on getting your route this year?
Yes, I do. I mean, that's a civil rights case that is still very much
still
alive. Absolutely. It's fighting for class action status. And I think it's really important to remind people, you know, you engage the authorities where you can when it comes to core issues of civil liberties and basic constitutional rights. And because groups and activists have been willing to engage the city and larger government forces across the range of issues, including challenging police behavior and the arrest of peaceful protesters who were simply trying to go home on March 20th, 2003, but also have challenged them every year on basic issues of the right to march in our public streets, in our taxpayer bankrolled streets. Because it's been such a multi-tiered approach, we're beginning to see some incremental successes in seizing back the kinds of civil rights and constitutional liberties that have been taken from us by this administration, unfortunately with the consent often of local authorities.
Another hat that you wear, I think you still wear, is the indie media hat.
I do. That is true.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what indie media is, how people find it, and what they will find when they go there?
Well, indie media, Chicago Indie Media is part of the Grassroots Global Indie Media Network. It's a project that started in Seattle in 1999 as a mechanism of providing alternative coverage to the protests against the World Trade Organization meetings in Seattle in November of 99. And it has literally exploded since then. There are grassroots collectives in every continent but Antarctica, in every major city in the planet, and in many small towns and cities as well. In Chicago, as with other indie media projects, we're there to basically provide a voice for the voiceless, and to give grassroots community reporters an opportunity to get their news up. We function under one rock-solid editorial rule, and that is don't be a liar. We really believe that community people are just as capable of speaking truth to power and telling the truth about the kinds of community issues and the news around them that you're not going to see covered in the big dailies or on the nightly news because the commercial imperatives of those operations simply don't permit it. So, you know, one thing we really want to encourage people to do is put on your reporter's cap, because, you know, this is an opportunity for you to talk about what's going on in your neighborhood. Get the word out about stuff that you're organizing, that groups that are doing the grassroots, groundwork to make things change in a positive way in this town are doing. And that's what our newswire is for, to get the word out about stuff like that. And it's been a remarkable period of growth since we got on the ground, and There's always room for more participation, so use us. We're there for you.
You're listening to Live from the Heartland. This is Michael James. It's the 4th of March, and we're talking here with talking about indie media, and we're talking with Chris Giovannis. Chris, how would people get a hold of you, indie media, or find out more information about the anti-war march on March 18th?
The March 18th Coalition, which has over 100 members right now, grassroots community committees and community groups, anti-war committees, churches, mosques, synagogues, and endorsers are signing on every day. We just had a Methodist church in Pilsen sign on last night. They have their own website, and the URL for that is www.chicagoactions, that's chicagoactions.org. To reach Chicago Indie Media, hit our website. No www, just type Chicago, one word, dot Indie Media, IndyMedia, dot org. We encourage people like Marty Cohen to slap his stuff up. Actually, a lot of the efforts that that you and your colleagues make.
Marty's sitting here. He's going on next.
And in terms of environmental issues, people routinely repost to our wire. We're very happy to see that kind of news get out there. I can be reached directly at 312-446-4939. I'm always available to help people figure out how to use the site, get the word out about the kinds of work that they're doing on the ground.
Okay, let's get your phone number one more time.
312-446-4939.
All right, I'm going to store that in my little phone right here. And I'll have to spell out your name. But anyhow, Chris, it's been great having you on Live from the Heartland.
Thanks for having me again, Mike.
We really should have you on more often.
All right, talk to you soon.
Right on.
See you on March 18th, everybody.
There. All right, thank you so much. Big round of applause.
That was an interview with Chicago organizer and media producer Chris Giovannis in a discussion about the March 18th, 2006 Peace March in Chicago, among other topics. The interview originally aired on Live from the Heartland on WLUW Radio in Chicago on March 4th, 2006. You're listening to The Ministry of Truth.